You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Today we are continuing our conversation about discerning God's guidance for your life. So,
looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Why don't you start us off by recapping what we talked about last week?
So we were talking last week about that, you know, every Christian, you know, sometime during the day, certainly every week, is trying to figure out, wonder what God wants here, wonder what his guidance is for me in this situation. And so we talked about, as we're figuring out how to discern God's guidance, it's good to look at the Word, to see some prerequisites that he has before he speaks to us. One is just that there's no sin in our heart that would be blocking him from speaking to us. Mm-hmm. Second one is that we're already determined by his grace to do what he calls us to do, that we're not kind of window shopping and, God, tell me what you want, and then I'll decide if I'm going to do it, but we're already determined to do it. And third one is just that we're living in the righteousness of Christ, living a righteous life because it's those people that he takes into his confidence. So we looked at those three prerequisites, and then we just said that, you know, generally there's five sources, or at least five sources, through which God guides us. And they're his word, prayer, godly counsel, circumstances, and peace. And we talked a bit about how God uses each of those or speaks through each of those to guide us, and that the idea is to not just seek one of those, but to look patiently over time at all five of those as ways that God will guide us, and to wait until all five of those are lined up towards the same direction. And then at that point, we have confidence to believe that we're moving in the direction that God has for us. So that's a little bit of a summary of last week's episode.
Awesome. Great. Thanks, Dad. And one thing we should also probably mention, both last week and this week, we will be referencing the same document that we will link in the show notes. And what is it called? Like discerning God's guidance?
Discerning God's guidance for your life. And you know, Laura, you and I keep saying last week. I think these actually drop every other week. So
got it. Okay.
Anyhow, last episode.
The last episode. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Okay. So, well, today I actually want to pick up with something else from the document because I think one of the things that can make discerning God's guidance a little challenging or tricky at times is just that God does not think exactly the way that we do. And sometimes it's hard to see what he's doing in the moment, or sometimes, you know, it can just be, we have to really learn to trust him. So you talk about this a little bit in that document and included some great verses. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I think there's some, just as I've lived my life, there's some lessons I've learned through the years, and some of them relate to God's guidance in our lives. The first one is Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9. And it says, "For my thoughts," and the "my" there is God, "for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So basically this is saying that the the God that we have given ourselves to, mind, body, and soul, is telling us up front, I don't think like you think, and I don't act like you act. And you can imagine the implications that has for us in seeking guidance from him, because a lot of times we go to him for guidance, and we're thinking, well, he'll just give kind of a, maybe a little sparklier version of what I would think myself. And yet we go to him, and sometimes he guides us in ways that we could not imagine, or ways that scare us to death, or ways that are certainly not our ways.
Yeah.
And we just have to be ready for that. And I do think that that's one reason why having the balance of seeking God through his word, through prayer, through counsel, circumstances, and peace is good for us, because sometimes when we're discerning his will and we feel like he's just telling us, you know, something like, you know, maybe sell everything and move to Kenya.
Uh-huh.
It's good to have the balance of his word, prayer, circumstances, counsel, peace.
Yeah.
To help us to really confirm, is that his voice speaking to us? So the first thing is just, we're going into this realizing it's not always going to be intuitive to us.
Yeah.
And sometimes he's going to guide us in ways that we would have never imagined. But then the second one is just such a anchor for us, and that's Jeremiah 29:11-14.
Mm.
And it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you." And that's interesting to note, he has plans for us.
Yeah.
You know, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart, and I will be found by you."
Hmm.
We talked in the last episode just that, you know, this isn't some malevolent cosmic hide-and-seek game where
yeah.
God's trying as much as he can to hide his will, and then if we're tricky enough, we can wrest it out of his hands.
Yeah.
You know, he's saying, "I know the plans I have for you, and as you seek me, I'm going to tell them to you, and they're going to blow your mind. They're going to be amazingly more and overall better than you could have ever imagined."
Yeah, man, that's good. Well, and I think one thing that helps is, as over time we seek to follow God's guidance and then we see him come through for us again and again and provide and make a way. And so I think the thing that I was hoping to ask you about and kind of learn from your experience on in this talk or this episode is just... what are some of your experiences and what are some of the things that you've learned about following God's guidance in some challenging situations, you know, when his ways don't necessarily seem the way that we would think about things? So I was hoping we could structure this episode. I have a few different scenarios to run
okay.
past you and kind of get your thoughts on. So, first of all, how do we discern God's guidance when we're honestly just kind of confused about which way to go? You know, like maybe it's
yeah.
a first job after college, or navigating a tricky family relationship with someone you have to be around, you know, or mm-hmm. what school to send your kid to. Things where you have to go ahead and make a decision on what to do. But can you just tell me about a time in your life when the next step didn't seem clear? Or what are some
yeah.
guiding principles you've learned?
Well, in the early years of mine and Janet's marriage, we initially lived in graduate school housing at the place that we were getting our grad degrees at. And that was a rental situation. And then from
mm-hmm.
there, we moved into a rental house.
Okay.
And then we began to think that it would be, you know, a good investment for us if we could to actually buy a house.
Was this after the roof caved in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother episode. But yeah, one day we'll talk about...
That was God guiding. Anyways, go ahead.
The roof caving in. But so there's a house, you know, down the street from where the roof caved in, and it was a great house. It would facilitate a lot of things that God had us involved in at the time. And, you know, this is going to sound funny to today's listeners, but it cost $54,000. And I remember thinking, how in the world would I ever have $54,000? Because at that time, I just finished my grad degree
mm-hmm.
and we had like no money. And I was
yeah.
running a very small service company. And so, you know, I was praying, you know, God, does this make sense? Is this what I should do? And and again, I was looking to those, you know, the five things: God's word, prayer, godly counsel, circumstances, peace. And I remember walking down the street one night, just praying about it, the street that ran in front of the house that we were looking to buy. And God brought this verse to mind in Isaiah 55, verse 1. It says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." And boy, that when I read that phrase, "and he who has no money," I'm like, yeah, this is me, you know? Uh-huh. And so I just felt that God was speaking to me through that verse that he was going to provide a way, even when we didn't have money, to be able to buy this house. Now, you know, again, I didn't then just charge out and buy it. I continued to look to prayer, to counsel, to circumstances, to peace, you know, for God to kind of look at all of the, or guide through all of those together. But that was a night where I was just walking kind of late at night, kind of lost, wondering, and God brought his word to mind and strongly encouraged me, you know, that even if you have no money, come by and eat.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's been a bunch of years later, and I still remember it very vibrantly.
Yeah, that's neat. So it sounds like one of the things that you are saying is just that we can trust God really will speak to us in those situations where at the present moment it doesn't seem clear. Is that...
Yeah, absolutely. You know, over time,
and
through, generally through, you know, these five ways or perhaps some others, but yes, he will guide us.
Yeah. And I, like what you're saying also just makes me think it's so important to be in God's word. Like, I know I've heard our pastor say, like, the language that, like, the Holy Spirit speaks is scripture. And, you know, like, getting in scripture is how we're going to access a lot of God's wisdom and insight. That's a good reminder for me. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dad.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So what about next scenario? What about when we believe God is leading us? Like, we sense his leadership, but the thing he's calling us to do seems scary or overwhelming. I guess, what then? Or how have you walked through that in your own life?
Well, you know, one day I'm going to figure out a story to tell that maybe doesn't make me look like a total idiot. But anyhow, I hate telling this story, but it's the truth. I, you know, as a young husband, Janet and I are married, and after several years of marriage, you know, we kind of begin thinking, and you know, that maybe it's time for us to start trying to have kids.
Uh-huh.
And I was scared to death of that. You know, I just, I felt like I was barely keeping my head above water in terms of just the responsibilities I was already in. As I've already told you, we didn't have a lot of money. And, but more than that, I was just scared that I wouldn't know what to do, that I wouldn't know how to love the child, that I would, you know, almost like be somehow disconnected from the child. It was just kind of some crazy fears.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting down with a dear friend, Bob Brandon, one day, and I was just pouring all this out to him. And as Bob will do, he was very direct, and he said, "You know, John, your big problem is you just don't have a biblical understanding of family at all." And he was exactly right. You know, I was looking at family more as almost like a threat to my comfort zone rather than as the basic unit that God has chosen to work his way through. And so that was a circumstance where I was scared, and it was through the godly and biblical counsel of a friend that I saw how I was lost and saw that, I need to start thinking about this, not around my fears and around my comfort or convenience, but around what is God's plan and purpose for our family.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. So it sounds like you're saying, like, the importance of us having people speaking into our lives, both words of encouragement in those scary moments, but also people who are going to call it like they see it.
Absolutely. Yeah. You need friends, counselors who aren't going to be yes people, but who are going to honestly tell you how they understand your circumstances through God's Word. And, you know, there's this wonderful quote that I don't have memorized, but it's by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he says that sometimes in life, the Christ in our own heart has grown faded, and the Christ in the heart of our brother is vibrant.
Yeah.
And that sometimes we need to hear the Christ in the brother of our heart, or the heart of our brother, to sort of restore or renew the Christ in our own heart. And I think that's true, especially in times of fear around decisions or around things we feel that God may be leading us to. It's good to have the strong, confident voice of a friend speak to us and give us God's guidance.
Yeah, that's really good. Well, and aren't you glad you had kids?
Oh, I sure am. And
because that child.
Yeah, that first child was Laura, is Laura. And it was a thing. I mean, the first 6 months of Laura's life, I was still kind of, I wonder how this is all going to work out.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, God just kind of bonded you and I together as he did with me and Gary and me and Will. And
totally.
The rest is history. And yeah. And again, so grateful that God kept me out of living in my smallness and fear by guiding me to the place he wanted me to be as a father.
That's so good. Okay. Well, let's move on to the next kind of difficult moment. What about when we believe that God is leading us to do something that is maybe kind of underwhelming? So, I mean, one situation that came to mind as I was thinking about this and kind of moments that God has used you to guide me, I was thinking about after college when I moved to really an awesome community with a great church where I was getting lots of opportunities to learn and grow. But I was a first-year teacher in an inner-city school and honestly needed to grow in some ways that were challenging for me. And you know, there weren't a lot of dating prospects, and that was a big deal for me at the time, too. And I just wanted to be doing something really exciting. Like, I had a lot of friends who it seemed like their lives were taking off in a more exciting way than mine was. And do you remember this conversation?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Because this is, like, one of the defining, well, maybe I shouldn't say that, but it was a really big moment for me. And you said to me, Laura, you're tempted to look at this town as a place of death. But God led you here, and you need to choose to believe that this is a place of life for you.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Yeah, that was just such a, like, I will never forget that. Just both needing to realign my perspective, to trust God's sovereignty, and also just to believe that it was kind sovereignty. Mm-hmm. So I guess, like, how have you seen this in your own life, or what are some other principles on, like, following God when it's not necessarily what we want to do, the thing that we would like to be doing? Do you have any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, it, you know, it's hard in those moments to drill down, but I think that sometimes we have this idea that, you know, my life should only be spent on quote-unquote significant things.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of the world, the flesh, and the devil a lot of times define what significant things are.
Yeah.
And not necessarily the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, God talks about laying down our lives, about being the servant of all, about being poured out for others. And we just have to, in those moments when we feel that he's called us to something that we would call insignificant, maybe what we have to really say is, God, I feel that this is insignificant, and probably that what that means is I have no idea at all the significance of how you're using this situation, this guidance, this place you're wanting me to be, for purposes that I just don't even see. So, Father, help me to trust you. Help me to to yield to you, to believe, you know, to believe in you in this place. Because I think that living a life of only doing significant things can sometimes be a hellish path of wanderlust, where we're just kind of grasping and grubbing after the next significant thing, rather than really trusting God knows what he's doing. And bottom line, probably what he's doing is humbling me. You know, when we go to him and ask him for his guidance, it's not code language for how to climb the ladder of fame and notoriety.
Really.
It basically is his guidance of how he wants to transform me into the image of Jesus. And you know, in the document that we're going to be sending out, there's a couple of verses at the very end that talk about God's overall purpose for guiding. Like, overall, what is he getting at when he guides us? And the first thing he's getting at is his glory. You know, he's wanting himself to be glorified both by the guidance and the way that he guides us and by how we honor him in the path that he guides us on. So, you know, Ephesians 1:12 says that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. Like, the whole reason that kind of the first generation of Christians were brought about wasn't for themselves, it was for God to be glorified. So the first one is, you know, overall he's guiding us so that he will be ultimately glorified through it. But then secondly, he's guiding us as a way to affect his sanctification in our lives. You know, 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, "For this is the will of God for you, your sanctification." And so one of the things that means is whatever prayer I'm ever praying, you know, whether it's, God, should I take this job or that? God, should we put our kids in this school or that? You know, whatever it is I'm praying, I need to understand that part of the way that he'll guide me is in a path that will sanctify me. Because always in his mind is his further sanctification of us. And that is a glorious thing, though sometimes in the moment that can be a hard thing for us to really grasp.
Man, that's good, Dad. That's really good. And I think that's a great way to end. So I think my takeaway from today is just to really believe that I can trust that as I follow God, he is going to accomplish his purposes and bring glory to himself, and that he is going to use this for my good and my sanctification as well, as I walk with him and follow him. So, yeah, thanks for sharing. Anything else you want to tack on before we wrap up?
To the listeners, just encourage you to take what you've heard from these podcast episodes and from the show notes that you'll be looking at. And I'm excited to think about how God will use this to further encourage you and guide you in the path that he's called you to. So hopefully this will be a good encouragement for you along the way.
All right. Thanks, Dad, and thanks to our listeners.
Thank you, Laura.
Okay, bye.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.